as he barrels into Marcus Smart.
I mean, obviously we were a lot better defensively, you know, flying around and making them take, you know, contested shots and making them make the extra pass and still being able to fly around. And our communication level has been up, obviously in the last two games. So we got to, as loud as it is in the garden, we got to be able to transfer that energy and that communication in game five and in order for us to be better than we were in game one and two.
I know the walk isn't that far to the car from High Tech Plumbing and Leak Detect. LeBron James, Craig Humphreys, he's talking to you right there, his defense. The defense was different last night. The defense has been really good in Cleveland against the Celtics in this series. Mark Rogers, Dusty Dvorak, it is the Monsters of the Midday on a Tuesday. Hello, Dusty.
Hello, Marcus. How's the missile today?
I'm good, guys. Thanks
Welcome
for
back,
asking.
Missile.
Thank
Did
you. It's good to be back with you guys.
With you bouncing around on us? What's going on?
I'm just being a team player, you know, helping out where I'm needed the most and just doing anything to help the team win.
Look at you,
swapping
Kyle Korver.
With Man. Matt Meyer in there, is Matt Meyer okay? He sounded like that he is about to seize up in that last hour.
I think he's all right. He needed to calm down a little bit. That's all.
He was very passionate.
He got me hungry, though. He's talking about bologna. When's the last time you had a good bologna sandwich?
At Belmar.
Mm.
We have a delicious bologna sandwich there.
It's been a long time.
It's outstanding. Outstanding.
I mean, so I can just go in and order a bologna sandwich?
Yes, of course. You can eat, maybe, yeah.
Maybe lunch
it's
today.
It's a TK special. What a performance last night by LeBron. I mean, that was I thought it was about as good as he could be. He let the game come to him. He didn't try to do too much like he did earlier in this series, in which the Cavs got kind of completely out of game two because he came out and went one-man show on him. Kyle Korver, I would suspect today at 2:00 the ultimate will gush over Kyle Korver, which is one of his long-standing man crushes. The guy didn't miss a shot for like two games. He was blocking shots. He was diving on the floor. I'm worried that Kyle Korver used up all the Kyle Korver that's left in that body for the rest of the series. But he had two incredible games. Remember how Marcus Smart, how good Marcus Smart was in game two? I mean, yep. Kyle Korver was kind of the Marcus Smart of game four.
I mean, he blocked Jaylen Brown twice, man. I mean, that was so funny, too, and Van Gundy was calling for the stats. But, I mean, yeah, he had three blocks last night, that hustle play at the end when he's able to force the ball out of bounds, I think, off Rozier, and they get possession. And he was obviously in rhythm early, knocking down his shots. He was great. He was great in both games. They need him to be, Mark. I mean, they need that presence from him when they go back to the Boston Garden. LeBron, I thought Tristan Thompson was great, Mark. I think George Hill. Another guy, I thought these last two games in Cleveland, he was really good being able to score the basketball. One thing that was bad about LeBron and really Cleveland as a whole, turnovers. I did think they got a little loosey-goosey, careless with the basketball, especially late, kind of let Boston back into it. But aside from the turnovers, I thought, you know, their energy on the boards, as you said, much more dialed in, closing out on shooters defensively, rotating. I thought Tim Legler had a great breakdown last night on SVP show. Some of the different possessions that the Cleveland defense was really locked in. So, obviously, an impressive performance by the role players. But, I mean, LeBron James was special last night. And as Craig Humphrey said, I mean, he was a locomotive last night, Mark. I mean, he was getting to the basket at will. And all of a sudden now, that little fadeaway he's got from the elbow where he fades away and shoots back over his right shoulder, I mean, that's starting to become one of his patented moves this postseason.
I mean, 17 for 28, that's pretty absurd. He did have seven turnovers, but 44 points. It was a quiet 44 points because he kind of took what the Celtics gave him. There's going to be close games coming in the series. I think these two teams are more evenly matched than what we've seen so far. There's been a pretty big variance in three-point shooting in these games where the Cavs didn't shoot it very good last night. But I think the Cavs – I think no matter where we're going to be in Game 5 and Game 6, I expect those games to be pretty competitive.
I do, too. Marcus Smart is a perfect example of a guy who's, in this series, played much better at home than on the road, Mark. He wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's
understandable
to me. He
still gives the effort and the energy, but he just, man.
You know this, Dusty. Effort and energy sometimes are based on how much success you're having. I mean, if you're getting killed, I mean, it's hard to put in extra effort and energy the way that you are when things are going good. And the home crowd provides a little bit of adrenaline rush for you, I would think.
Yeah, they kind of had a Houston Rockets problem. They were, I think they've 16 missed dunks or layups last night, so they weren't finishing around the rim. You finish at the rim in Boston, and that crowd erupts. Well, then all of a sudden, you know, some of those plays last night that didn't go down, they can be game-changing plays as this series shifts. I like Cleveland in six before the series. I'll stick with that, Mark. I think it's going to be very tough, hard-fought, but I like Cleveland to get game five and then close this thing out in six games on their home floor.
All right, I am at Big Boys Guns and Ammo today, and we are located at Southwest 74th on Highway 152. Tonight is seniors – well, it's Seniors Day, okay? I mean, seniors, of course, typically up early, go to bed early. I'm in that category myself. Half price for everyone 55 and up here today at Big Boys Guns and Ammo. Thursday night, guys' night. Monday night is ladies' night. If you need a conceal and carry class, they have a ton of them. You need to check their calendar at bigboysgunsandammo.com for those, or follow them on Twitter at Big Boys Gun Range. And Facebook at Big Boys Guns and Ammo. Dusty is also on location today in Okarchi.
I am. I am here today in Okarchi, Oklahoma, right across the street from the legendary Eichen's Chicken. And I'm here at Carter Chevrolet, where they're making friends selling cars in that order. They've got some fantastic deals. New 2018 Chevy Trax, $277 a month. 18 Silverados, $14,000 off MSRP. The new lifted Silverados, $39,974. The number one reason to shop at Carter Chevrolet, the plethora of dad bods. Just check out the video on Facebook to see what I mean, and you can check out all their inventory online at CarterChevroletOK.com. Marcus, we have another game tonight, and I got to tell you, I mean, I'm all about, like, reverse psychology, you know, like trying to Jedi mind tricks. I think that's, you know, I'm kind of into that. And I'm just guessing, Mark, I'm just guessing that's what Mike D'Antoni is trying to do with the Golden State Warriors.
We've been through a lot of this year, and they've been great. And, you know, the world will go on. And, you know, right now, to me, Golden State has all the pressure. They're still – they got to win. You know, we should come in with a little bit of a swagger and giddy up in our game and see if we can get it.
When a dude starts talking about we got good jobs and, you know, I got a family and everybody's happy and all that stuff.
Sound like
it's
hit the bottle.
Over. Over. Over, period. I mean, he knows, and he's looking at what the rest of us are looking at, too. They had a great regular season. Houston's the second-best team in the entire NBA. But Mike D'Antoni, people were criticizing him. It was like he was a coach of the year last year and made a good case for being coach of the year this year. And, heck, Mike D'Antoni, who's never coached much defense in his life in the NBA, has even started to coach defense in the last couple of years. And he's getting run over by a buzzsaw in this series, and people are mad at him about it. That's stupid. I mean, if you can't see with your own eyes that the Warriors don't have in far, far superior players in this series, if you thought, I mean, you're fooling yourself. This isn't his fault. So he's got to go back to this, I got a good family, and I have to make a lot of money, and I've had a good life type stuff.
No, you missed the key point in that, I feel like.
Dolce has all the pressure.
There it is! I mean, that's all I need to hear from that soundbite.
I was going off another soundbite too. I'm collaborating it all together
okay.
for you. Regurgitating one big opinion on this Rockets Warriors series.
That's a Jedi mind trick, because come on now. The Warriors have all the pressure. Come on. He doesn't missile. You would agree. Even Mike D'Antoni doesn't believe that.
Oh, he believes it. I mean, did you hear what Mark just said? Mark pretty much made his point for him of why the Warriors have all the pressure. They have the better players.
Trying to get more 16 years. 17-0 in the playoffs with KD at home.
Ridiculous.
Exactly. Yeah, the Rockets have already lost on the road this postseason. They don't have anything to worry about.
If the Golden State Warriors win, the series is over. Over. It's over. Houston Rockets have to win tonight. Like, I mean, come on. If Golden State loses,
this thing is over.
What's that?
This thing is over.
It's over. As Jim said so wrongly several years back. I'm just saying, though, I know LeBron came back against a KD-less Golden State Warriors team, but to win three straight games against Golden State, that would be extremely difficult, and I would put the percentage chance of that happening at zero. So Houston has to win tonight, and while I appreciate and I appreciate him trying to pull a fast one over Golden State, or trying to give his players a false sense of optimism. I definitely think Houston is the team that's under the pressure tonight, Mark. But I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. How do you respond to pressure? I don't think pressure's always – people act like pressure's terrible. Some people rise to the challenge when there's pressure. Some people wilt. But the pressure is clearly on Houston.
We had a discussion last weekend where you mocked my calling Andre Iguodala an all-star in his one all-star appearance. And he should not be given credit for the decoration he received back in whatever it was, 2012, I think. That will be significant in tonight's game. I think the Rockets have a much better chance tonight without Iguodala on the floor. But they're still going to have to play really well because there's still four other all-stars out there that they're going to have to contend with. And then again, the role players for them that I expect to play better when they go back to Houston like they did in game two are going to have to do that in front of that hostile crowd and Draymond Green's mom and all, everybody. So it won't be easy, but I do think that taking that defensive stopper, unselfish player that does everything without having to score on the floor will hurt the Warriors a little bit.
Yep, no, I agree. I mean, I guess, listen, Andre Iguodala is a nice piece for this Warriors team. He serves a great role. I just don't think of him on the same level as I do KD, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond when I think of the all-stars on this Warrior basketball team. You know, we could also say
he's the fifth pick of those five.
David West, he made some all-star teams, right? Missile?
Yeah, I think he did when he was with
the Hornets.
Did David West make some all-star teams? How many all-star
teams? The Hornets and Pacers? I think he did.
Absolutely he made some all-star teams.
We have Josh the intern here with us today. We haven't added another Josh to the show. Like we need any more Joshes at the station. I mean, they should all go by their last name. So Josh,
has Josh
the intern,
found out when he was an all-star yet?
Josh is looking it up right now. Josh doesn't have a mic. I don't know. They didn't give him a mic today. We'd let him talk.
Two-time all-star. He actually trumps your Iguodala.
Yep. 2009.
Okay. Did he make the all-star team here in Oklahoma City? He sure did twice.
Look at you. I thought you were covering that team. No, he was in New Orleans. Or was it while they were here?
No, they're only here in 05 and 06.
Yeah, correct.
See, I recovered that team.
Do we have a nickname for the what number Josh is this at the station? We've got Lupton. We've obviously got the Missile. We've also got Josh Lee.
Yeah, Josh Ray. He's an American.
Josh Ray, holy cow. Forgot about Josh Ray.
Josh Ray left. We also had the Josh that's on Wild. Not Josh Lee, but the other Josh. He goes by a different name.
There's another Josh.
What do you mean he goes by a different name?
He goes by how I'm the Missile. Like he goes by a different name.
What's he go by? Can we tell?
Well, I don't want to reveal it on air.
Does he go by Roger Rabbit?
Does not go by Roger Rabbit.
That's a great DJ name, by the way, Roger Rabbit.
If
you ever go up to the station and you see anybody, just call him Josh.
Maybe
even
the girl
at the front desk.
Maybe he goes by Brandi Chastain, and they actually thought when they made that plaque in California for her, and they put his face on it. Could that be potentially what went on?
Because Josh, did you see the picture of the plaque?
I did. That looks like they did a plaque for Cartman from South Park.
What?
Like made a real life plaque for it. It's not even close to Brandi Chastain.
The Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame. The Morning Animals are cracking me up on this morning. And
they
I had not
funny.
Seen it. I had not seen it at that point. And I looked at it, and oh, my God. How's that possible? I mean,
you know, a lot of people think that right now, like CBD and medical marijuana and stuff, there's a lot of growth opportunity in that business. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just now kind of being legalized, and people want to invest because it's going to blow up. I'm telling you right now, if you can do a plaque, then you should be one of the richest men in the world because the plaques they're cranking out in Oklahoma and in – Brandi Chastain's backyard, wherever, are ridiculous. It's almost like the plaque makers of America are clowning the rest of us. They've had enough of it.
It says here, fans have compared the likeness to former President Jimmy Carter and actor Gary Busey. I've also heard Craig Humphreys. I've also heard Peter King of Monday Morning Quarterback. So this is the Brandi Chastain that had the famous goal in the was it 1999, Marcus? Yeah, 1999 World Cup final where she runs out, rips off her shirt. She's got the black sports bra on. I mean, really fit. I'll just say it, man, the sexy girl back in 99. I was a young teenager, Mark. You can know where I'm going with that. And, you know, so that's what I think of Brandi Chastain. And then the plaque that they make her, by the way, she still looks good. She's still piped up. She's standing there in a dress. and it looks like a 65-year-old man's face they put on her plaque. I mean, come on, man.
How about the
she
feathered,
says, quote,
how about the feathered
it's not the
hair,
most flattering, looks... but it's nice. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It's nice. Nothing nice about that. Disrespectful.
She looks like she's been dead for 3 days. I mean, her face is just... That was bad. The Baker Mayfield, Mark Andrews plaques are equally as bad.
Wait a minute.
See the teeth on Mark Andrews?
Wait a minute. I just got a text from a very good source. I don't know if this can be confirmed, but we need to get to the bottom of it. He says, I believe the company makes those are Midwest Trophy. Okay, so not Midwest City. Okay, I was thinking that they were done right here in our backyard. Never mind.
They are. Midwest Trophy's in Midwest City. Midwest Trophy does most of the trophies that are trophies anywhere. They do the NCAA Football Championship. They are great at trophies. I'm sorry. I mean, they may have advertised on our station at one point in time, but if you're the plaque maker over there, man, you got to do better. I think we're all saying that.
I mean, what is closer? Oh, I was told that that's who made Baker and Marks. Okay, so now the cat's out of the bag. But okay, so what's closer? Brandi Chastain's likeness or Mark Andrews' likeness?
Neither one of them are close. I mean, they're nothing. They look nothing like any of them. You know what I'm saying? As Jackie Moon said, I said this yesterday, everybody love everybody, even the guy that making the plaques at Midwest Trophy. But somebody must have given you a bad picture.
It's 2018 with lasers.
They could put a people's picture on a birthday cake, dude.
With all the technology we have.
You ever seen that?
Yes.
Put somebody's picture on a birthday cake. It looks just like him.
Absolutely. I mean, I've seen a lot of incredible things. And
I love Midwest Trophy, but that's not their finest piece of work if it is.
No. And what the Morning Animal said is 100% correct. This should be written into law. If you have a plaque, if you have a statue made of yourself, you should have final say yes or no, right? I mean, if this is going to be put up somewhere that's going to leave your lasting image for the next generations to look at, I think you should have final say on those things.
We talked with Jason White about this, a man that actually has had his statue put up over there at OU, and he said when they showed it to him, he felt like, no, I'm going to send that back. You know what I'm saying? That's not like a steak you get cooked up. Somebody's worked a long time on that. You can't just go, I don't think that looks exactly like me. You know?
I don't know. I think you should be able to. That's what I'm saying. Yes, there you are,
somebody's already putting up a statue for you, so you're just trying to be nice, and you just say,
melt that metal down and make a new one.
Yeah. If I was Mark Andrews or Baker Mayfield, I'd send that back. I wouldn't care.
Baker Mayfield was hanging out. I like seeing him there. He's going to work out great in Cleveland, man. He's got the jersey on. He's working the crowd already. That town's going to love that. Obviously,
Cleveland!
That town's going to love Baker Mayfield.
All right. You know what we're going to do today? We're going to take some phone calls. We have Jake Trotter coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. We exhausted all our statue material right there early in the show, so you know that we're expecting big things today. Stay tuned to the Monsters of the Midday. The I-70 series resuming last night. What is going on with the Royals? I don't feel sorry for you Royals fans at all. Too bad. Your team sucks this year.
Speaking of Royals.
Against Kansas City in shutout fashion.
Yeah. We may have to talk about some Royals at some point here in this show today. But while we're talking about your cards, you got to tell me about this fireballer you got, man. Dude was throwing 105 the other day, had two pitches at 105.
He's from Texas. They drafted him out of high school. Yeah, and his stuff moves, too. It's unbelievable. They're finally using him the way that they should. I'm glad there was discussion. You know, Mike Matheny wasn't going to even take him with the big league club out of spring training, but he's awesome.
Jordan Hicks, only 21 years old, Marcus.
Fire it up there. So there's some mild excitement for the Cardinals this year. They're not bad. They got a bunch of guys injured, but, you know, they're hanging in there. They're not bad. I heard Missile defame the team the other day, saying he likes the Brewers better. The Brewers are currently a game and a half ahead of the Cardinals, but.
Yeah, because they're better.
Were you just afraid to take my side on both sides of that equation?
No. I really thought the Diamondbacks are better than the Rockies, and the Brewers are better than the Cardinals.
I'm going to win both sides of that bet.
Hey, one more thing on baseball. We'll make this a little mini baseball segment here. The Washington Nationals, they have a new young phenom, 19-year-old Juan Soto, and this was his first major league at bat.
Huge leadoff second. Soto, long ball to left. See you later. First pitch, first homer, first RBIs, 3-0 Nats.
A lot of firsts for Juan Soto. 19 years old, Marcus. He goes oppo on that homer. Ball gets out quickly. That's a good sign for the Washington Nationals. Especially if they lose Bryce Harper. They're going to need someone to step in his absence.
The biggest surprise in baseball this year is who the Washington Nationals are looking up in the National League East. The Atlanta Braves got the best mm-hmm. record in the National League, which is stunning to me. I mean, Nick Markakis off the scrap heap is having a really good year. They've got some good young players. Their pitching staff in Atlanta is outstanding. So that's the biggest surprise. I know there are a lot of Atlanta Braves fans around here, unless they jumped off the bandwagon and haven't gotten back on yet. But that's impressive what they're doing so far this season. So is the Missiles division the American League West? Angels, Mariners, A's, all over 500. Sorry, Dusty, there's only one team in that division that's under 500.
Oh, I'm well aware, Mark. Thank you for pointing out the obvious.
But that division's a little bit better than I expected it to be in the preseason.
Ohtani dropped a bomb last night.
What a season he's having.
That's
some star power in that lineup.
4-1 on the hill. I think he's got 6 home runs, batting around 320. Not bad for his first year out of Japan.
And one last thing before we wrap up a little baseball. I don't know if you've been paying attention to this yet, but the New York Yankees have quite a bit of power in their lineup.
Pitches hit in the air to deep center. Back goes to Shields. He's on the track. He's at the wall. She's gone. Dead center field. That's Gleyber Torres' second homer. The first time he's hit 2 homers in one game as a Yankee rookie. It's Gleyber Day. And like a good Gleyber, Torres is there.
Sis, John Sterling, we love you. Way to go.
Just now, are those off cuff?
It's worth watching Yankee games.
Does he have those things scripted out?
If you don't think that he's not thought about that, surely he has.
Had to, right? I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to get in the mind of great Yankee play-by-play voice.
You mean you think you just wind him up and out comes great home run calls like that?
I don't know. I mean, maybe if you've been doing it for so long, it just, he's like a poet.
It's
good. Didn't know it. It just flows off the tongue.
The Yankees are hitting home runs at an obscene rate.
Yeah, congrats, Yankees fans.
They were beating up on the Royals, and now they're beating up on your Rangers, right?
I'm not happy for you, but congrats.
It's going to be the Yankees' year. I think they should be pretty excited.
To wrap up our 5 minutes of baseball today, we will have the man who's going to be on the call tonight for ESPN's Major League Baseball. I do believe it's the Rockies visiting the L.A. Dodgers. Adam Amin, he was on the call last night in Cleveland for Game 4. He has flown to L.A. He will join us at 1:05 today. Call that game tonight on ESPN and then fly back to Boston for Game 5 tomorrow night. So he's going to carve out a nice little 15 minutes to chat with us.
Excellent. That's good. All right, we're going to take phone calls this hour. 460-WWLS, 888-285-WWLS, 460-9957 are the numbers to call if you do not know how to correspond the letters with the numbers. So anything on your mind, we'll be happy to discuss. Please do not jump on the hump man. He's had a stressful enough day already. You can call and agree with us if you'd like. So anything that's on your mind, we'll get to there.
I've got some on my mind.
What was on your mind?
So have you seen this talk about Aaron Donald at the Rams?
Uh-huh, I have.
He's absent. He hasn't shown up. Well, I thought this was interesting that Marcus Peters, brand new Ram, who has been traded to L.A. this offseason, he had something to say about Aaron Donald.
Hey, man, pay the man. I mean, you win the MVP, man. Come on now.
Pay that man his money.
So Marcus Peters, now here's one thing I'll say. I can't get on Marcus Peters negatively, okay, from the player's side. The one thing that's taboo and all players know, you don't talk about another man's money. Unless, I would say, you're basically promoting and saying, pay this man his money, right? If you're willing to do that and call out the organization, then no player's going to have a problem with that. You never, like a couple of years ago when Drew Brees tried to tell somebody they need to show up, no. Don't do that, Drew. Everyone knows contract negotiations, that's a player's first priority to make sure that their money's right for them. Other players shouldn't get involved. I like Marcus Peters stepping up saying that as a former player standpoint. But if I'm the Rams, this already worries me, Mark, because he's already, it sounds like he's willing to speak his mind. He's willing to step in and basically tell an organization that just traded for him they need to step up and spend some money. I don't know. I think Marcus Peters is a great player, but I know it's a four-second clip. I don't know, though. Hopefully he doesn't try to assert himself prematurely before he really becomes a part of that team.
I'm going to call this the Isaiah Thomas theory, is that when you go to a team, you need to at least do some team activities before you start being the unofficial spokesperson for the team.
You know? Yeah, so, I mean, it's a little premature, man. He's not like, you know, he's not even one of the guys yet, and he's already speaking up because they put a microphone in his face. I don't know if that's...
Kansas City had enough of that.
If I'm up there in the upstairs in the management, obviously if this is the worst thing he does, who cares? But I'm already going, oh, God, really, Marcus? I mean, we've been in workouts 3 weeks, and you're already spouting off to the media, calling out the organization? So from a former player, I love it, but I can promise you the L.A. Rams... probably not happy, and if it's a glimpse of what's to come, I don't know. They may not be as happy with Marcus Peters. I do think, though, Marcus, I fully am with Aaron Donald. I wouldn't show up if I was him either. This dude is the premier pass rushing defensive tackle in the NFL. He's the defensive player of the year. He's been to multiple Pro Bowls in a row, and he's only the team picked up his fifth year option, which he's on this year. He's only going to make $6.8 million. Now, it's a lot of money, but when you look at and you think of one of the premier dominant defensive linemen in all the NFL, it's peanuts, man. It's nothing. So he had an issue last year. He wound up playing for what his contract was, but I'm fully with him. I mean, I would hold out as long as possible, and I'd be wanting to make as much as I possibly can because he's earned every penny of it, and the guy is still young, and I would expect him still to do it at a high level. And when you can be a penetrative, a disruptor from the inside, there's a hefty price tag that comes with that, Mark.
Rams are going to be one of the best teams in the NFL this year. They've got a lot of talent. They got a good coaching staff. I mean, you think you can put it all together. There's going to be a fun team to watch. So hopefully, I think he'll get there for the business time.
Have you thought about the NFC? Because I haven't
thought about the NFC. I have.
Okay, let's handicap the NFC.
You want to know my thoughts on the NFC?
Let's just say top five teams in the NFC.
All right. Philadelphia, number one.
Got to be number one.
Number two, I would say the Rams are right
there. I think I'd put the Rams at number two.
I'm going to go off the board a little bit. I'm going to go Falcons at number three.
Okay, I'm going to go Packers. I'm really excited about Aaron Rodgers having a new weapon at tight end.
He's got we've got other weapons.
What do you think Jimmy Graham's value is going to be for fantasy?
You know what? I think it'll be pretty good, but the Packers have put people out there at tight end that I don't know that you could just at every man. You know what I'm saying? And they've all kind of been good. So how much better is a really good tight end going to make him? I don't know. I think the Packers are worthy of my number four spot.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go with – I really like the 49ers, but I don't think they're good enough to be five. But I'm going to put the Saints in number five.
I was going to – who'd you have at three?
Atlanta.
See, I would put Saints four. I would put Atlanta five. Think Atlanta has a bounce-back year. Julio Jones, not at OTAs. You worried?
No, they get it. No. I mean, I think they drafted another receiver they think is going to help them out, and I think that they – so they don't have to deal with that they went to the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a year in which they didn't go to the Super Bowl, so I think they're going to be really dialed in and focused. Don't have to worry about that Super Bowl loss in the rearview mirror.
I'm going to take it.
The Vikings.
I was just about to say, I have to rework my list here because
they put the Vikings in.
Minnesota has to be in my top five.
Hey, yeah, the NFC is so loaded with teams that are good. I don't know that anybody has to be in the top five other than Philly.
Atlanta going into the year would not be in my top five. I would probably have, man, people are going to think I'm crazy for putting the Packers over Minnesota. But I
gave you a little variety as a spice of life there with Atlanta. But I think it's up to debate. There's eight good teams in the NFC or more.
NFC is going to be absolutely, it's going to be absolutely brutal. Tough to deal with. I think Carolina's going to be pretty good this year.
They're
too
good.
Hey, Marcus,
They're
where
good.
Are you at today?
Big Boys Guns and Ammo and Range right here, and they've got a big self-defense act or conceal and carry class this Saturday from 9 to 5. You can register for classes if you come by and see us today, or online at bigboysgunsandammo.com. Tonight is senior night, senior day, half price for everyone 55 and up. Thursday is guys' night, and guys will shoot from half price from 5 until 8. Big Boys Guns and Ammo.
Very good. I'm here today at Carter Chevrolet in Okarchee. And they've got some great deals going on. They're making friends, selling cars in that order. 18 Chevy Trax, $277 a month. New lifted Silverados, $39,974. And you can check them out online at CarterChevroletOK.com. One more thing. If Minnesota isn't in the top five and they just pay Kirk Cousins all that money, man, that was a waste of money on a quarterback who's making $30 million a year when you were oh so close to making it to the Super Bowl just a season ago. When we get back, we'll take your phone calls. 460-WWLS, 460-9957, here on the Monsters of the Midday.
Las Vegas Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup Finals. I'll watch Game 7 hockey, man. Game 7 hockey I will tune into.
The highlights from that last night, the highlights from that game last night were tremendous. Washington, they play with some crazy physicality. Big-time hits, man. It was good stuff. Washington brought it, and they get the easy three. It wasn't easy. It was a close game for most of it. But it goes back to Tampa Bay. I want to see Ovechkin. If the Knights are my number one rooting interest at this point, but if Vegas can't win it, I'd like to see him go down to Alexander Ovechkin. If that was the Stanley Cup Finals, I would feel like I'd be in a win-win spot.
I don't know that I wouldn't just go ahead and root for the Capitals to win this because they have been long suffering. They're a long suffering franchise.
What?
Yes.
That's
it's
ridiculous.
Time for them to break through.
Who
Why
cares?
For Vegas.
I want history. I want the amazing story. The amazing story.
You know, like the Capitals story?
It's not even on the same proximity, Mark.
How many Stanley Cups have the Washington Capitals won?
In the same stratosphere. What?
How
Who
many
cares years? What they've won? I don't care what they've won. That doesn't matter. Has
you
know nothing
many,
to do.
Do you know
Mark,
how many Stanley Cups the Capitals have sipped out of?
Zero.
Same as you and I. None.
Okay. Zero. So if they're able to win it, great. But that's not the story here. The story is that an expansion team, Mark, a team assembled of 30 players that were cast away by the other 30 teams in the NHL, a team that was put together in October, that a year ago did not exist, okay? That this team of misfits, of outcasts, have come together and are four games away from hoisting Lord Stanley's Cup. That is a much more compelling story than the Washington Capitals, who haven't happened to win anything before. They suck. People don't care about teams that are terrible. People want the story. Vegas is the story. The expansion team is who the NHL wants to win as well. There's no question.
I will invite you to do a little research on Mr. Alexander Ovechkin.
Okay.
And find out that he is one of the world's most interesting men. Very, very entertaining. He's done a lot of things in his career. I think you would like
like
Alexander Ovechkin.
What has he done?
All kinds of stuff, man. I mean, he's
so
been one of the great players in his game. He's
I know
got six
him about
more
as a
all-star
player.
Appearances than Andre Iguodala.
I don't care about his
He's Russian. He probably influenced our election just by the fact that, I'm sure he's met with Donald Trump. And the Capitals have had a lot of success with him, but they've not ever gotten over the hump. I see a wager coming on between us here. I'll be willing to take the underdog Capitals in the Stanley Cup Finals after they win an underdog performance against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I don't know if they will be underdogs. I think Vegas has been an underdog in every series so far.
No. Not an underdog. They were not an underdog in the first two series. I don't think they were an underdog against the Jets, but they weren't. I was in Vegas. I actually had a wager on the Las Vegas Golden Knights that paid even money against the San Jose Sharks.
You don't think that that's an incredible story?
I think it is an incredible story, but I just counter with there is an incredible story on the other side too.
Okay. Man, I don't know. I look at it as to be able to buy in that quickly. And again, obviously a lot of these people were probably pretty upset. I mean, a lot of these guys, they're under contract and their team just said, we're not going to protect you. Therefore, Vegas was able to swoop in and grab different pieces from all over the league. I was looking at the criteria as to how they had to make out these rosters. Man, it's difficult for them to do that and have played as well as they played. I don't know. You can root for, you've now made me hate the Capitals. You know what the problem is, Mark?
What's that?
Here's the real problem. They got to go to Tampa Bay and win a game seven.
I know. I said
the team that I'm talking about, they're already in, baby.
They're going to be an underdog tomorrow night, but they're going to overcome all odds. Ovechkin has an asteroid named after him, which is pretty cool. He's also married to a Russian tennis player. They're going to have superhuman Russian babies.
Is she good looking?
Yes, she is. Yep.
She attractive?
Do you think Alexander Ovechkin would marry a mullion? No.
I don't know. Maybe he fell in love. Love is blind sometimes.
Well, typically not, I would say.
Missile, who will you be rooting for in the NHL playoffs to win Lord Stanley's Cup?
Vegas.
There you go. Not to mention,
Mark, there's zero chance. There's a small chance, probably very, very little, that I'd go to Vegas if they won the Stanley Cup final and celebrate. And there's definitely a chance I'd visit Vegas again at some point. There's a zero chance I'd ever go to D.C. for that. So I'm going for Vegas.
Oh, man. I spent a summer in D.C. I can tell you that D.C. is very underrated. It's a good town. There's a lot of stuff to do there, a lot of cool things to see. I know that you're from Latvia, but you would enjoy some of the cultural aspects of this country.
Maybe some
monuments, I'm sure, do nothing for you. But anyway,
some
people enjoy that.
Boring. Those are the boring.
Great bar scene in Georgetown. A lot of cool places to hang out there.
Just wait a second. Are you trying to say that Washington's a better town than Vegas?
I was just trying to provide a little bit of education for the Missile in Washington, D.C. I didn't say that it was a better town than Vegas. I'm just saying it was Missile's dismissed it like it was going to be going to Birmingham for the weekend or something like that.
Yeah, I think Mark has a point there. He's just trying to tell me that Washington's not that underrated. It's not Vegas.
It's our nation's capital. I mean, I think it speaks for itself. Hello?
There's some cool places in Washington. You would not be disappointed. You have a good time there. I can promise you. It'd be a little different time than Vegas, but you would have a good time.
If you have an opportunity to go hang out in the city for a weekend, Mark, 10 times out of 10, you're going to Vegas over D.C.
Unless you're going to lobby
something, Congress floor.
You can go to the Congress. You can go to the Capitol. You can sit in on a session of Congress. Absolutely can do that.
Sounds like a blast.
I'd rather go to the sports book. Well, they will have those in Washington, D.C. now very soon.
Very,
enjoy that.
Very soon.
This hour has resembled yesterday's show. I am at Pig Boys Guns and Ammo and Range, where they have a conceal and carry class coming up on Saturday for you from 9 to 5. BigBoysGunsAndAmmo.com. You can register there or find what a great time for you would be to come take that class. Also, today is Seniors Day. Half prize for everyone, 55 and up. Thursday is Guys Night. Monday is for the ladies. They've got a Facebook page and a Twitter account where you can check them out, or online, as we mentioned, at BigBoysGunsAndAmmo.com. Dusty is providing inspiration for all the dad bods today out there in Okarchi.
That's correct. I'm at Carter Chevrolet. It's the number one reason to shop at Carter Chevrolet. There's a plethora of dad bods all around here, and you can see exactly what I mean by watching their video on their Facebook page. You also check them out online at CarterChevroletOK.com. Here in Okarchi, they're making friends selling cars, and it's in that order. Got a new 2018 Chevy Trax, $277 a month, 18 Silverado, $14,000 off MSRP. Great things going on right here in Okarchi at Carter Chevrolet. We're action-packed next hour. Adam Amin is on the call. The Eastern Conference Finals also will be on the call tonight on ESPN for Dodgers and Rockies. He'll join us at 105. Jake Trotter of ESPN will talk some college football with him at 125. Keep it right here on the Leader in Sports, 98.1 WWLS, the sports animal. Great pass down the court by Kevin Love to LeBron James, and they're on the call for the Eastern Conference Finals. One of our favorite people in all of media, Mr. Adam Amin. How you doing, buddy?
What's going on, brother? That was one that Baker Mayfield would have been proud of. That was a heck of a pass. Baker was in the house last night.
Did you chat him up or anything? What was he up to last night? Looked like he had a Cavs jersey on and he was leading some of the cheers with the great people.
Yeah. He and Denzel Ward were both in the house last night for Game 4. Got a chance to just say hello to Baker quickly. He was being ushered along, probably to meet a bunch of people or shake some hands, but. He was having a good time. He was sitting courtside for a bit, and then they threw him up into a suite with Denzel. So hopefully he had a good time. And people seem to enjoy it when they put him up on the big monitor yesterday. I think fans in Cleveland are very excited for Baker Mayfield, and I had some fans ask me about him the other night. And I thought he's a quality pick and a quality player and a guy who's worked really hard to get to number one status. So that doesn't help the expectations for him. I know that's only going to increase the expectations on Baker, but I'm excited for him.
The energy level of the home team in this series has been pretty fascinating to me. I don't think it's going to go all home teams, you know, win every game in this series. But do you see anything that can kind of give us a preview of the next three games? Can one of these two teams get their role players to do what they've done at home on the road?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest question, and that's been the biggest difference. You're right about that, Marcus. I feel like this is a team, or this is a series, I should say, where the teams are so reliant early in games on getting role players involved. And really for Boston, it's everybody. You know, I'm not to say that everybody's a role player for Boston in terms of the traditional sense where, you know, these aren't stars in the making. These are guys that are going to be stars. Jason Tatum's going to be a star. Jaylen Brown's going to be one. Terry Rozier, all these guys are going to be stars in the future. But right now, they need to be collectively good to stay in games, and that wasn't the case against Cleveland in the last two. And the same deal for the Cleveland Cavaliers. When they had opportunities in game one from guys like Smith and Korver to make shots and they didn't, that really set the tone for the rest of the game. So if I had to lean one way or another, I'm looking at this Cleveland team, a veteran team that got all their guys involved for the most part the last two games, getting everybody with some decent looks, get Korver into a rhythm, get Smith into a rhythm. And I think the veteran guys can carry that over. Onto the road. I have a worry about Boston after losing these two games and the fashion in which they lost them. And I know they were close last night. They made it a close game for a good chunk of the second half. But I worry about the youth of this Boston team now and how their confidence level is going back to Boston. You know, Brad Stevens told us last night, it's like, hey, we're great. It's great that we're 9-0 at home, but that doesn't automatically mean when we go back home on Wednesday night, we're going to win the game. I mean, we got to play. We got to be executing at a high level like we did in those first two games. Otherwise, we're going to end up losing this series.
Talk with Adam Amin, ESPN play-by-play voices on the call for ESPN Radio, the Eastern Conference Finals. And tonight, we'll talk with him in a little bit. He'll be on ESPN doing Rockies at Dodgers. The always busy Adam Amin joining us today. Hey, that LeBron James guy, I'm going to go on a limb and say I think he's going to make it in the NBA. You know, game three, he was, you know, he has all the dimes. He's diming people out. He's one of the most efficient games you're ever going to see. And last night, only three assists, but he took what the defense gave him, and it was uber-aggressive locomotive LeBron James to the rack. I mean, he's just unbelievably impressive on his home floor games three and four in Cleveland.
Yeah, he was in the paint. He was living in the paint last night, and he took some shots outside the arc at the end of the game. more so in the third and fourth quarters, but he was living in the paint last night, and that's where LeBron James is at his best. When the Cleveland Cavaliers get looks for him inside the restricted area, inside of 5 feet, they've had a trend. They've been winning all their games when he's gotten most of his shots in the painted area, and that was the case last night. This is a guy who can cruise to 44 points. I mean, I don't know if you can call it an easy 44 points, but that was a near effortless 44 points last night. And that's what's just incredible to me watching this guy. And I get the fans that don't like him aren't going to buy this argument anyway, but I'm sitting there, man. I'm watching this guy from 10 feet away and just admiring what he does to make this look as easy as he does make it look when he's at his best. And you're right, he wasn't he threw some passes away too, and then it wasn't, you know, he had a bunch of turnovers in last night's game, so let's not let him off the hook in that regard. But offensively, it's so easy for him when he wants it to be. And when the defense is not rotating right, when they're giving him easy looks in the painted area, he can cruise to 20. John Berry, at one point when LeBron got to 20, he goes, "That was the easiest 20 I've ever seen." And that's what it's like when he's at his best. And I think we saw two different levels of his best. Like you said, Dusty, the last two games, you know, 27 the other night on, I think it was 12 or 13 field goal attempts. And then last night he gets to 44 on still a relatively efficient 26 shots because he's getting to the line and he's living inside and taking what the defense gives him. I think it's a great way to say it. And it's just a marvel to watch this guy. And I know articles get written and people roll their eyes, but I don't think people really appreciate how good this guy is, and they won't. Then nobody's ever going to appreciate this guy until he's done playing and we're 5-10 years removed, and the next great star comes along to try to compare him to LeBron. We're really never going to appreciate this guy until that time comes, and it's incredible to watch him do it live.
That was an incredibly effortless 44 points. That was amazing last night. What was up with the Celtics at the rim? They missed more dunks and easy shots than I've ever seen. It was from the beginning of the game on. It was just they couldn't get a dunk or layups.
You know, it's happened the last two games. You know, it would happen in game three as well. Early layups, early chippies, missing on offensive rebounds, missing dunks. I'm not sure what is going on with these guys, and I don't know if the pressure is getting to them a little bit. Again, it's a lot of young guys playing their first major role in a conference final. Really, Terry Rozier didn't play that much in the conference finals last year. Marcus Smart was really the only guy of this young group that played extended minutes, and that's because Isaiah Thomas got hurt last year in the conference finals. So for Jaylen Brown, who did play big minutes in the playoffs last year but wasn't as big of a factor as he has to be here in this series, Jason Tatum, rookie, you know, this is his first experience on the road these last two games in a conference final. And it's supposed to be harder. It gets harder when you go deeper into the playoffs in the NBA. And they're learning that. They're learning on the fly. And Brad Stevens has been very positive, saying that this is an incredible learning curve for us. And we get to learn on the fly. And it's a great experience. And he's right about all those things. But it's not necessarily leading to high efficiency play over the last two games in Cleveland. So I think they're going to have to rectify a few things. They were better defensively. They were more competitive throughout the game after the first quarter, where they were very sluggish again. I don't expect that type of a slow start at home on Wednesday night for them, but they're going to have to make sure that they're executing at a high level at both ends, because they did that in the first two games. They did not do that very well in the last two.
Hey, Adam, you know, I think Tristan Thompson is another guy who's just been a huge factor for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, we go back to game one. This guy only played 21 minutes, wasn't a starter. He plays 38 minutes last night. He played big minutes in game number three. But I think his defensive presence to mitigate somewhat Al Horford was doing, also his ability to switch off on other positions. I mean, again, the stat sheet, it's not going to wow you, but I think his impact is immense for Cleveland.
Yeah, especially at the defensive end, man. You're right. And he's not always on Al Horford on the defensive end, but he's in there a lot on Al Horford. And he's done a really good job on Al Horford. Al was much less effective the last two games in Cleveland, and a lot of that had to do with making it difficult for him to catch it in the paint, getting out on him when he's on the three-point line, running him off the three-point line, because he's a really good three-point shooter. His looks were not as clean the last two games as they were in the first two games of the series, and Tristan Thompson's presence is important. And I agree with you. You can't switch with him. He obviously is not ideal when he's out guarding Jason Tatum, although Tatum's a hard guard for anybody. But he can guard for a possession against a guy like Marcus Smart if he ends up getting switched out on him. So you do have some versatility and some flexibility with him on the defensive end. And again, he's been the best offensive rebounder in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He's got the best offensive rebounding percentage in the postseason so far this year. It's what he does better than everybody else. He's the biggest offensive rebounding factor that Cleveland has in the paint. And that was a huge issue for Boston in the second half last night. A lot of offensive rebounds. I think they had 9 offensive rebounds that led to a bunch of second-chance points. They had double-digit second-chance points last night. A lot of those came in the second half. So Tristan Thompson has found himself in the rotation again after he was a non-factor in the first round up until Game 7. And then Ty Lue pulled the trigger, put him in the starting lineup. He was huge against Toronto at various points, and he's been really important in the 2 Cleveland wins so far in this series.
Are they going to chop you into Chavez Ravine tonight, or do you go early enough and leave late enough where it doesn't matter with all the traffic?
Yeah, I think we're going to be all right. I feel like we'll be just fine. I mean, I don't want to like hang from the leg of a chopper or something like that, although I could probably pull it off. I feel like it wouldn't be that difficult. I've seen it done.
Hang from the leg of a chopper, please. Put it on video. I want some of that.
It'll be good, man. We're just going to head over here, and we got plenty of time to relax and get some work done and sit in the hotel and eat some lunch, and then we'll head over to Chavez Ravine. We've got a little bit of a fun segment. We're going to do a little Dodger Dog segment tonight, right? I mean, it wouldn't be a proper television broadcast if we weren't consuming some kind of food product. And then as soon as the game's over, we're all heading over to LAX and red-eyeing out of here, and I'm headed to Boston for Game 5 on Wednesday night.
Are the Dodgers
– Whoa.
Uh-huh.
Did you just say that you're going to eat on TV without me, Adam?
I know you're upset about it, but when it's Dodger Dog, when it's the anniversary of the Dodger Dog, we gotta step up our game, man. We gotta step up our game. I was hoping Cody Bellinger would actually join us at some point today, but I don't know if he's gonna be available, so we'll just have to lean on Rick Sutcliffe to eat with us in the booth.
Wait a minute. The Cheeto Lotte, are you familiar with that, Adam?
We're hoping that they bring one of those up to the booth, my man.
What's a Cheeto Lotte? Help me out
what
here.
You should, that
it.
Looks a lot better than a Dodger Dog. It is it's a piece of corn with hot Cheetos on the outside of it.
So you know what an elote? Elotes are, it's corn on the cob, or you can take it off the cob, but I prefer it on the cob, and it's a traditional dish that I grew up on it because a lot of people in Mexico eat it, and we had a big Spanish community and Mexican community from where I was from, so I had a lot of elotes when I was a kid, and it's corn on the cob with butter, chili, mayonnaise. You can put some cayenne pepper on it, some salt, lemon juice, or you can squeeze fresh lemon on it. I mean, it's just amazing. It is phenomenal. And what they've done is taken that concept and then taken hot, flaming hot Cheeto dust and kind of crumbled up Cheetos and just spread that on top of it, and that's probably the thing I want the most when I'm at Dodger Stadium tonight.
That sounds fantastic. Wow!
Yeah,
what a great idea. How hard is this for you to go from a jam-packed sandwich in the middle of an Eastern Conference Finals to slip off and do a baseball game on ESPN television? I mean, is that effortless? What's your process, and what do you have to go through to, from a travel standpoint, and also just getting yourself prepared to do the game at a high level?
Yeah, I hope it sounds effortless. I hope it comes off as effortless. I know it doesn't feel that way when you're kind of in the grind of it, but a lot of it is, you know, reading up the week before. It helps that we're doing a series for the Eastern Conference Finals, so at least I know what I need to know game to game, and it doesn't take me too long to make sure I'm refreshed on everything I need for the next game. But yeah, just getting started last week and taking notes on the league and remembering what's going on. And I've had enough experience covering Major League Baseball the last 5 years where at least I have a baseline to work off of, and I know where I need to go for prep. But, yeah, the travel is the toughest part. You know, I was up this morning at 6 a.m. and jumping on a flight. Just got to our hotel a little while ago, about 20, 30 minutes ago, and sitting down, writing out my lineup card with some of my team notes and making sure I'm packed and ready to go because I'm headed to the airport with a bunch of our crew as soon as we're done. And red-eyeing out of here, and we'll get into Chicago and then connect to Boston and hopefully be in Boston by about 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'll finish up all my notes for that game, and then we'll head over to the stadium and to the facility and make sure we get all of our interviews, knock all that out pregame, and be ready to go when 8:30 Eastern rolls around on Wednesday night, man. I mean, it's part of the fun of it. It'd be kind of tough for me to sit here and complain about it when you get to do cool stuff like this.
Mark, he's the man that never sleeps and always delivers. Always delivers.
It's amazing his schedule and how, I mean, what a great job he's done. The Dodgers, how big of trouble are they in? They got a little bit back on track against Washington, but they've got to be the most disappointing team so far in baseball.
$187 million payroll right now for the Dodgers, and obviously they're dealing with a lot of injury issues and some important ones, especially in the rotation. Kershaw is going to throw a bullpen session this week, throw a sim game as well. They're hoping he can be back as soon as next week into the rotation, but Rich Hill just went to the DL because he's dealing with blisters again. Hyunjin Ryu's been out. He's probably going to be out until July at this point. And Corey Seager's been out since mid-May. So that's a huge blow as well to their offense. And offense, by the way, is not performing all that well. I mean, this was a really solid power-hitting team last year. They were sixth in the National League in runs per game. They were, you know, top four in home runs. The power numbers are way down. Obviously, Seager not being here is going to have another major impact on that. But they haven't played well at home. It's been surprising. Part of it is they haven't won a lot of close games. And that's usually the mark of a team that's going to have an above-average win differential, run differential. So, you know, they've had some tough times, and Kershaw's injury is probably chief among those things that they have to deal with. But they got to get back on track. They won four in a row this weekend. They played really well against the Washington Nationals, as you said. They beat Max Scherzer, although Scherzer pitched well. They got Justin Turner back last week. He had a good start to his 2018 season after he was on the DL to start the year. So there's some promising things. But you got to get back on track before the All-Star break, and obviously they lost last night in another close game. So that's been the difference. That's why the Rockies are sitting in first place right now in the NL West, because they're winning a lot of close games, and the Dodgers just aren't.
Hey, so the host that comes on after us, he played Major League Baseball back in the day for the Orioles, and he just texted and said to tell you not to go out with Rick Sutcliffe. You have told me some good stories. And it's, I would definitely want to go out with Rick Sutcliffe. So tell the ultimate that he's crazy. Sutcliffe's he's aces, right?
Sutcliffe is the man you want to hang out with, especially if you happen to be in Chicago, where he is still, as far as I'm concerned, one of the mayors of the city. And obviously, I grew up on the Cubs of the mid '80s, and you know, my dad was a big Rick Sutcliffe fan when he won the '84 Cy Young. And Rick's one of the best all-time people ever. You know, he's a great teammate. You know, he loves broadcasting. He loves being around the game. Everybody loves Sun. And if we weren't red-eyeing out here tonight, there is nowhere I'd rather be than Los Angeles after a baseball game than hanging out with Rick Sutcliffe. Where he made his Major League debut in the late 70s at Dodger Stadium. So you know this town pretty well, too.
There's the man, Bill Murray. Sutcliffe was in Oklahoma City a couple years ago, and I worked with him at a charity event for Mark Harmon's, who comes to Oklahoma City a lot, man, and he did a lot for some of the kids there that they were benefiting. He's a super, super good dude. I mean, he's great.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Cancer survivor, and actually we have Chad Bettis pitching tonight for the Colorado Rockies, a year removed from surgery to remove tumors. You know, Sut's been through that before. He's a battler. He's a fighter. We love him to death, and I'm just lucky to be able to work with a guy like that, and I'm looking forward to working with him tonight.
Hey, and Marcus, next week, so he's doing all this stuff, and next week he's coming to Oklahoma City. He's coming in for some softball, so I think he's going to be here for almost a week. I'm going to be hitting him up as much as I can to get a chance to take him out in Oklahoma City and have a good time. Buddy, so proud of you. Great stuff as always, and have a great call tonight. Safe travels. You head back to the East Coast tomorrow.
Sounds good, guys. I'll see you guys hopefully in person next week. How about that?
Sounds good. Look forward to it.
The great Adam and me, one of the busiest broadcasters that you're going to find out there right now. Eastern Conference Finals last night. Dodgers Rockies tonight. Eastern Conference Finals back in Boston tomorrow night. When we get back, we'll talk some college football with the Iron Man of the sports animal, Jake Trotter. But before we do that, Marcus, where are you at today?
Big Boys Guns and Ammo. We are here in Wheatland today at Highway 152 and Southwest 74th. It is Seniors Day. Everyone 55 and up shoots half price. And they've got Conceal and Carry Classes, Self-Defense Act, also going on the 26th of May from 9 to 5. You can check the calendar for more dates, bigboysgunsandammo.com. They also have a Facebook page and a Twitter handle at Big Boys Gun Range. What's going on, Karchi?
Karchi today, Carter Chevrolet. A little bit of everything's going on, Marcus. Number one reason to shop at Carter Chevrolet, it's not the great deals which they have, like a 2018 Chevy Trax at 277 a month, or a 2018 Silverado 14,000 off MSRP. It's not because they're making friends selling cars in that order, but it's because they have a plethora of dad bods and they have video to prove it. Check out their Facebook page and all their great inventory online at CarterChevroletOK.com. As I mentioned, the Iron Man of the sports animal next.
Redhead, you're taking some time away from your busy ESPN world to hang out down here with us little dogs?
It's not that busy, man. It's not that busy.
Sud, who you been playing golf with?
He's here. He's in the house tonight. Bill Murray.
John.
The great Rick Sudcliffe. The Padres broadcast. They brought him out of the stands. I think he had been playing golf that day with Bill Murray. You never want to be brought off a golf course, Mark, and put on television. You know what I mean? That's a bad spot to be in.
Probably so. You can get dehydrated out there. I think clearly that's what happened to him.
There's no question. Dehydration can set in. And then just crazy things come out of your mouth. Marcus, what's going on? Marcus is at Big Boys Guns and Ammo. I'm in Okarchi, Carter Chevrolet. And on the phone is the Iron Man of the sports animal, Mr. Jake Trotter of ESPN. Jake, are you back on Oklahoma soil?
Yeah, back in Oklahoma soil. Went to the Big 12 baseball luncheon today. Saw some of the coaches getting ready for the big tournament downtown. So yeah, back in the great state.
We talked some Big 12 baseball. What'd you find out? What can you share? What was the buzz today?
Here's what I found out: the food at Mickey Mantle's is pretty good.
Did anybody try to smuggle a spit cup in there? Any of the baseball coaches?
No, there were no spit cups that I saw, but, you know, those guys are pretty good at hiding that stuff.
They just swallow, man. They're baseball players. They don't need to spit.
Yeah, Roger Clemenson was the player of the year. Matt Kroon from Oklahoma State was the newcomer of the year, their shortstop. And a lot of stuff going on. We got the Sooner softball team in the Super Regional against Arkansas. And then the Women's College World Series next weekend in Oklahoma City. So it's a big time, even without the Thunder. We got a big couple of weeks here locally.
Who's more dominant, the OU women, the OU softball team, or the Golden State Warriors?
Probably the Warriors, but the women's softball team is pretty dominant. I don't know how good is Arkansas. I mean, you probably know more about this than I do, Mark. Can Arkansas hang, or are they going to get
stopped? Yeah, Mark, handicap the softball Super Regional, please.
I'm laying the points with OU. What do they outscore their opponents? 21-0. Yeah. Give Arkansas two chances, slim and none.
I guess I just kind of feel like I just need tickets.
I'm trying to get my dad in there to see it. He loves the OU softball team.
I'm actually not even kidding when I'm about to say this. I'm to the point where I feel like with Oklahoma softball and making it to the softball World Series in Oklahoma City each year, kind of like Alabama making the college football playoff. I just kind of expect it at this point.
There's no question. I'm trying to think of gymnastics, but there's no question that the softball team is the most dominant athletics program in Oklahoma, right?
Yes.
I mean, Patty Gasso's rolling, man. Absolutely.
Gymnastics is up there. I mean, they're good in gymnastics, but I think it might be softball.
Well, considering that sport was dominated by teams like from the South and East and the West Coast, the fact that they've built that in Norman is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I saw they sold out in 20 minutes. Is that right?
You pack them in, man.
I was also being serious about trying to get some tickets to that. So,
Patty Gasso's won 16 Big 12 conference championships and 4 national championships.
If you have tickets to donate to Mark, call 460-WWL.
I'll pay. You don't have to give them to me. I don't want to pay. Well, you know, I don't want to pay markup. But you know,
we'll take
face value. Sure.
460-WWLS.
Thank you, Jim.
Hey, as far as the anything from baseball though, anything stand out? I know Texas won the league on the final weekend. Boy, for such a surprising great year for Oklahoma State, that had to be gut punch to have led the league for as long as they did and then get swept out by Tech on the final weekend so Texas can swoop in and win the league.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there were a lot of expectations for Oklahoma State coming into the season, and then they lost, like, their entire rotation to injury. Jensen Elliott, Parker Scott, and then the big kid from Deer Creek, Mitchell Stone, like 6'9 left-hander. All three guys got hurt at various times, so they kind of had to just sort of makeshift their pitching rotation. They got really hot with the bat, like in the middle of the year, and jumped to the big lead. But I think it kind of caught up with them. I mean, Texas Tech and Texas are the class of the Big 12, and it looks like those two are going to host, barring something crazy this week. And it looks like Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are going on the road. The Cowboys is a 2, and Oklahoma is a 2 or 3, right, Mark? Does that sound right to you?
I'd say 2. Probably a 2.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma State will probably be a high-rated 2, and Oklahoma probably a lower. You know, Oklahoma might have to go to, like, Oregon State or something. But, I mean, both teams, you know, they can hit. Both teams can hit a little bit. And I think Oklahoma State, if they ever get their rotation back, like, their better days are ahead. You know, they were sort of playing with house money to begin with. But, man, Texas Tech. Those guys are scary. Those guys can hit.
They're the most talented team in the league, right?
I think that's right. You know, Texas has Cody Clemens, and, you know, they've always got pitching. But Texas Tech 1 through 9 has got some bats. They had the freshman of the year as well, dude that can steal a lot of bases, like led the league with 27 stolen bases. They're the type of team like Oklahoma State in the 80s where they could score 22 on you.
The Big 12 has done pretty well in baseball the last few years. They've been represented in Omaha and had some good teams. Just haven't been able to win one.
TCU beat down
right,
is kind
Cowboys
of a surprise,
were right?
There.
The Cowboys were right there 2 years ago. I mean, in Oklahoma under Sonny, you know, they made a big run. But, yeah, they just haven't. Did TCU win the national championship? Like, or they got to the national championship game. Which was it?
I don't believe they won the national championship.
So is Texas a few years ago the last team to win it?
I think so.
I think that's right. But Texas Tech had a pretty good run where they were in 3 of 4 or 3 of 5 College World Series. So they've been Tadlock's done
TCU,
a great job there.
TCU too, yeah, TCU too. So I would say Texas, you know, and maybe even Oklahoma State, if they can get hot with the bats again, would have a chance to get to the Super Regional.
Well, it should make for, at the very least, it should make for a fun week and weekend there in Oklahoma City at the Bricktown Ballpark because, as Mark mentioned, the Big 12 has been really good and it's been extremely competitive league this year. So I would expect the same for the tournament.
Yeah, it should be good. Should be a lot of fun. And
TCU has
never
not won.
If you get Bedlam in the title game, that would be a lot of fun.
TCU hasn't won it, but they've been to 4 straight College World Series. It's pretty good.
Yeah, they lost Luke and Baker to injury. They're big batter, but it would be a surprise if they did it again.
You have anything just taken on the deep into the world of college baseball? I'm impressed.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I was at the luncheon. I should know some stuff.
Well, absolutely. That's why we're picking your brain. Anything on the football front? Newsy, noteworthy.
I can't remember last time when was I on, like Thursday? You know, West Virginia's added
a couple
of breaks. You'd broken out of a meeting
just to come on with us peasants in Oklahoma City.
So since then, you know, West Virginia added a couple of grad transfers.
Defensive line.
Yeah, so they're hoping that those guys can plug up some holes there. You know, Kansas fired their athletic director yesterday, which –
That's what I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, I talked to some people around the league yesterday about it, and I think that the assumption is that David Beatty is going to have to win, you know, 4 or 5 games this year to feel any kind of comfortability about coming back.
Man,
or
that's
show
tough.
At least some progress, or show some
4 or 5 games.
Well, think about it. They've been really bad, right? I mean, they're
pay that man his money now.
They're as bad today as they were, you know, the day he took over. And even though they built up their scholarship limit into the 70s, I mean, if they go 1-11 next year, the new athletic director you would think would want to pick his guy, right?
I don't think that. I think that this move was not unexpected. The firing of the athletic director.
Well, I mean, they're still cutting checks to Charlie Weiss. I mean, that's the death knell.
They're going
to
cut Zinger a couple of checks, too.
Yeah. They had launched this capital project, you know, upwards of 300 million, you know, to build a new stadium. I don't know the last time either of you have been to Kansas, but it's like playing in, I mean, there are probably 15 high school stadiums in Texas that are better than Memorial Stadium up there. It's really bad. There's no environment. And so they launched this project to kind of get on par at the very least, so that when, you know, the conference realignment deck shuffle again, that they would be more attractive even with their basketball program. And so, you know, Zinger was the one leading this campaign, and I think they were torn between, you know, firing him in the middle of fundraising and then firing him because, I mean, really, you know, had done not a great job. So ultimately the latter won out, and they're going to try to, you know, maybe they have to put the fundraising on hold a little bit, but in the meantime, they've got to get a guy that can. You do not want to be where Kansas football is in 2022 when the Big Ten, the SEC, start looking around and maybe send the college football world into upheaval again.
Well, under his watch, he hired Charlie Weiss, who went 6-22, and as you mentioned, they're still paying him. And he's hired David Beatty, who's gone 3-33. I believe that's somewhere in the ballpark of 9-55 collectively since he took over. This is what I don't understand about collegiate institutions, though. Okay, why in God's name did they give him a 4-year contract extension last year? And now they owe him $1.4 million to get rid of him. Like, what prior to last year made them think that this was going well? Like, that is just wasted money. You see this all over the country, Drake, and it drives me nuts. Some of the people that ink coaches and ink athletic directors to these long-term extensions and then turn around and fire them a year later, I don't get it. You want to talk about not being able to look into the future? How'd this guy get an extension?
There's a great story to be done about the money gone bad in college sports, particularly college football, where coaches get money that for no other reason than that's just the way things are done. Like, I go back to LSU last year. You know, Coach Orgeron had absolutely no leverage in that situation. It wasn't like somebody else was going to swoop in and hire him away. And they gave him a deal with so much guaranteed money, it was unbelievable. Why? I have no idea. I mean, it doesn't work this way, really, in any other, forget sport, any other business entity there is. But in college sports and college football, you give coaches and you pay search firms money that you don't have to, it feels like to me. And this is another case of it where, I mean, listen, sometimes you have to. Sometimes you have to pull out the checkbook. And sometimes, as a businessman, which is essentially what you are as the athletic director of a school, you know, you've got to be a better shepherd of the school's money. And I mean, it's a problem across the board in Kansas as the poster child, because it is insane that they and Notre Dame are still paying Charlie Weiss money.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
It's crazy. What's even crazier is that the athletic director that signed him to that deal got an extension a year ago, then they fire him to pay him $1.4 million buyout. Like, what?
A lot of these school presidents don't know what they're doing. Right?
It's unbelievable.
They've had a ton of issues in the athletic department. I guess there's a report in the OU Daily this morning that Kenny Mossman might be up for the Kansas job.
Good for Kenny.
It would be a good hire. I mean, I think he'd do a good job. He's done a great job at OU.
Yeah, Kenny's done a great job at OU. We all know Kenny well, great professional, and they need an adult in the room. It feels like there.
Yeah, and what he's from Kansas, right? I mean, went to college in Kansas.
He's a Kansas State guy. I mean, he's a Kansas.
I know he's a Kansas Stater, but I mean, he's from the state of Kansas, so
yeah,
I'm sure
right.
he's at least a Kansas guy.
That is true.
Pretty good lay of the land. Hey, Jake, great stuff. Let's do it again on Thursday. What do you say? Maybe 125-ish.
Yeah, sounds good, and I might be at the ballpark. I'll hold off on going to the beer line until.
Do they sell Dodger dogs in Oklahoma City? Since we are a Dodgers affiliate,
they do. They have dogs there. Yeah, I don't know if they have the chitalote.
Do they serve beer at this tournament? I can't remember. I think no.
You'll be on the job, dude.
Don't be drinking college campuses.
It was a joke.
Okay, just saying. Just want you to keep your gig. Can't be drinking and writing.
I have never appeared on the Sports Animal that I can recall under the influence. So I keep the streak going.
What is wrong with you?
Well, let's make – there's always time for first.
It might be the only one.
On Thursday.
So.
Right here, man.
What, did you hear Craig this morning?
No, I didn't. Oh, was he – did you guys have to pop a beer on him?
I think he popped plenty. We didn't have to pop anything on him. Hey, thanks, Jake. We appreciate it.
See you guys.
Jake's gonna come on. Hey, this is a look into the future, people. This is what we do here. We can actually look forward, and we can predict what audio will sound like. Here's Jake Trotter Thursday at 1:32.
In the world, man, where is it?
San Diego.
Right here, man. You can't read it.
When we get back, boy, do I have a story for you guys.
The royal wedding.
Listen, the royal wedding's going to have to wait. There's been a new story that's been brought into my world.
It involves
an Edmond golf course and a altercation that took place between a couple of elder statesmen. We'll discuss next. You're supposed to do Sports Talk Radio. Mark Rogers is at Big Boys Guns and Ammo. I'm in Okarchee at Carter Chevrolet. And I just want to know what is going on in the city of Edmond. And so we're going to bring you a story from the Edmond Sun. Compliments of a good friend of mine and my insurance agent, Mr. Trevor Randall. But, you know, because he's a citizen of Edmond, so he's trying to keep the peace. I thought that in the Morning Animals, I thought Phil and Zynga was like Mr. Edmond. How is it that this story has come to me, Marcus, and it is not past the desk of one Phil and Zynga? Is he not doing his proper job keeping up?
I don't know. He disparages our town of Norman quite frequently. I'm not a fan of that.
Okay. Well, okay. I'm going to the golf course today. Now, I'm not going to this place, but I'm going to Belmar, and I may have to rethink about what I need to be worried about on a golf course. So this takes place. This is from a couple of weeks ago. We've got a couple of Edmond men that are facing assault and battery with a dangerous weapon. Okay, this is a 67-year-old and a 72-year-old. Okay, and what happened, Marcus, was a gentleman, the victim, he shows up and he's playing by himself, and you know, like we all do, if you're playing by yourself and there's a group in front of you, they're playing slow, there's a foursome, he wants to play through, right? I mean, Mark, if we were playing in a foursome and there was a guy coming up behind us playing by himself and we're clearly holding him up, we're going to let him play through every single time, right?
There's so much to get into. Yes, but if you're a single at the golf course, you ought to know you don't rule the course. I mean, they design a course to go off in twosomes, foursomes, and sometimes even more. I mean, you have to be patient if you're a single guy. I play golf sometimes by myself. I don't expect to go through every group.
Okay, well,
there's all kinds of morons in this story.
Well, there is, okay, but I'm not going to get on to the single who wanted to play through the foursome. Because I guess I feel like if there's ever a single behind me and I'm even playing with two, if they're going fast, and they're just let them go. I don't care. It doesn't bother
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
What does it matter?
I endorse all golf etiquette.
Absolutely. So the gentleman's playing by himself. He gets to the 11th hole, and he wants to play through. Well, he has some words with the foursome, and a certain gentleman, the 67-year-old, did not like it. They became nose to nose. They exchanged displeasantries, and that's when it got a little crazy, Marcus. That's whenever the 67-year-old broke out his ping crazy putter and started smacking the dude in the face, started beating him with his putter in the face, okay?
Oh,
guys, bleeding out of his face, all right? He just wanted to play through on the golf course, for goodness sakes. Now he's getting beaten by a 67-year-old man with a putter. And what would you think the other three in the foursome do? Probably stop their buddy. You know, hey, man, you got him good once. Quit swinging and hitting the dude in the face. He's bleeding all over. Something like break this thing up. No, one of the other guys from the foursome, he grabs his putter and starts beating him on the ass, Mark, to where he's got welts and marks and bruises by the time the officers arrive on his backside. So he's being beaten from the front on one side with a putter and beaten on the backside by another one of these guys from the foursome with another putter.
I'd rather get hit in the ass than getting hit in the head. I mean, I'm just saying. I'd rather them hit me with lower body than the upper body.
Thank God someone on the course heard the racket, saw the beating that was taking place, and he ran over. He said, when I saw how much blood was pouring out of that man's face, I knew I had to do something. What's going on in Edmond, Oklahoma on the golf courses, Mark?
What the hell?
67 and 70-year-old men?
Kicking Bird has a lot of trees. You can get very frustrated on that course. It's difficult at times. You could be, have some really bad lies on that course, which otherwise is nice. But what a bunch of idiots. They're all idiots here. One, if you're single, you shouldn't try to play through a big group all the time. If they let you through, then so be it. But you should also not, as a human being, unless you're like a one-man wolf pack the way Dusty is, challenge a group of four other men.
I don't know if he was challenging the four men. I don't know if he's challenging the four men. This dude just went psycho.
The four men beat the one man just out of nowhere because he's asked to play through?
Well, it was one-on-one initially. It did say that the man, the 67-year-old who was arrested, he did have a slight case of schizophrenia. We'll get to that at another point. But all I'm going to say is this. I don't know what's going on up in Edmond, okay? I don't know. I'm going to let Phil and Zynga do a little bit more investigation, but get it together, people. My Lord, it's a golf course. You're out there to have fun. You're out there to get away from your wives and your family. Have a couple of drinks. Enjoy the beautiful weather. It's not a place that you're going to go break out your putter and start smashing people in the face and smack them on their rear end, Mark. I'm just saying, like, you can be as mad at this guy for asking to play through as you want. I mean, I see it all the time. Had people ask me. Doesn't bother me. But the point of this is there's something wrong in Edmond. That's what I'm telling you. There's something wrong with the crazy people that are out there that think they own the damn golf course. You don't own the golf course. Go out there and just enjoy yourself. There's too much animosity for someone to be this upset and to get to this point. It's crazy to me.
That's how I feel about golf. That's a place to enjoy yourself. I'm not going to be overly competitive. And I'm not going to hit anyone with a putter.
But I think you should also know this, too, though. You have to be mindful, if you're going to a local golf course now, to know that there's crazies out there. And that if you're going to try to pass them on a golf course, or Lord knows, can you imagine if this dude would have hit a ball into this foursome? What would have happened? He might be dead, Mark. They might have killed him. So just be careful. Golf etiquette is key. Relax. Have a good time. And I'd stay south of the Oklahoma City-Edmond line. Sounds like crazy things happen north of Oklahoma City.
Yeah, they had a chupacabra up there in Edmond, too. Hey, it's time for the ultimate right here on the Sports Animal. We will be back. Dusty and I will be tomorrow at 11 for another edition
of
the Monsters of the
Midday. Maybe I'm going golfing today. You never know what I could get into at a golf course.
Nobody's going to challenge you, big fella. Stay tuned to the Sports Animal.